giants, mutations, and hoaxes. We see a picture there with heads of giants bigger than the persons standing with it. It says, the above skeletons came to light after heavy rainfall in Mexico on March 23, 2015, in Sierra Tapalpa. This was not photoshopped, as some claim, seeing that it was printed in several news agencies, for instance, the Mendoza Post and La Cola. We are taught in school that our ancestors were smaller in stature. The following photographs are excavations from all over the world and tell us a different story. Genesis 6:4 says there were giants in the earth in those days. Was this true or just fairy tale fodder? Archaeological findings and skeletons in large numbers have been excavated in Romania, the Middle East, India, the US, Greece, and on every continent. However, they miraculously disappear as quickly as they are unearthed and are promptly, with the utmost secrecy, taken away for further research. While the excavation areas are declared no-fly zone and people are told in no uncertain terms to hush it up. We see here pictures from New Zealand, Saudi Arabia, India. These finds quickly disappear off the radar and the photographs are declared photoshopped hoaxes. Now we have here articles from the end of the 19th century. A giant skeleton found in Yupon, Arizona. Some articles from the New York Times, published October 23rd, 1882. A race of giants in Old Gaul. And then there's another one, published May 25th, 1882. The bones of a giant found in St. Paul in Minneapolis. The skull of heroic size. And this May 25th article ends with, evidently a giant. A thorough investigation of the mound and its contents will be made by the Historical Society. The Historical Society is a Smithsonian Institute founded in 1848, administered by the US government, which has affiliates and centers worldwide to promote the evolution theory. The AIAA, that is the American Institution of Alternative Archaeology, states that the US Supreme Court ruling has forced the Smithsonian Institution to release classified papers in 2015, dating from the early 1900s, which show that thousands of giant human remains were ordered destroyed by high-level administrators. The Smithsonian had sued the AAIA for defamation. A turning point of the court case was when a 1.3-meter-long human femur bone was shown as evidence in court by a Smithsonian whistleblower. So there's always a possibility that someone has a few skeletons in his cupboard. Natural adaptations versus mutations. After the flood, animals started adapting in color and size according to the drastic climate changes and their survival needs. These are natural adaptations, often confused with mutations and natural selection. In evolution, we learn that, I quote the Smithsonian Institute, that mutations are material on which evolution acts. Mutations can be caused by random errors in DNA replication or repair, or by chemical or radiation damage. Most times, these are either harmful or neutral, but in rare instances, a mutation might prove beneficial to the organism. The bad ones died out because of natural selection. So states the Smithsonian Institute. Well, the bad ones died out because of natural selection, which is the survival of the fittest. The theory that through mutations, dogs can develop into horses, tigers can change into rats, and frogs into birds is an amazing fantasy world, but not science. The definition for science is to discover facts, to formulate laws and principles based on these facts that can be verified or tested by further investigation. Let's look up some chemical and radiation mutation facts. Some may remember the dire photos of the thalidomide chemical mutations of the Softanon babies in the 1970s. And recently, how harmful the radiation mutations have been for babies born in the Middle East war zones. Radiation of DU, depleted uranium, used in bombs, causing ghastly burst effects. Babies without arms, no legs, one eye, open insides, double heads, horrific deformities that shake a person's inner being to the core. Not one mutation proved beneficial. If it was rare to have beneficial mutations, and there were thousands according to evolution, then the Earth should be filled with quadrillions of fossils with harmful or neutral mutations. We are taught that fossils are one of the central lines for evolution evidence. Well, where are they? Hoaxes. We have the hoaxes of our ancestors. The Piltdown Man was publicized in 1912 and was constructed by using the jawbone of an orangutan soaked in potassium so it would look like a fossil. The Piltdown Man was taught in our schools for 40 long years and confused the young minds of a whole generation in their studies. These next ones remain in our school textbooks. The Homo heidelbergensis. The Heidelberg Man was constructed by the inspiration of a jawbone that was considered by many to be quite human. However, he is another missing link in the tree of evolution. Then we have the Homo erectus. Have you ever wondered what body part they used to construct that Homo erectus? The Homo erectus was around 1.89 million years ago to 143,000 years ago. Okay, but then we have the Homo neanderthalensis, which should be from 400,000 to 40,000 years ago. Dr. A.J. E. Cave explained in 1958 at the Congress of Zoology that the Neanderthal man was the skeleton of an older gentleman who had suffered from arthritis, and he is supposedly our closest human relative. Then we have the Homo sapiens, that is the human race, and we allegedly developed around 40,000 years ago. Now, all these faces are reconstructions made by John Gerge. He's a fantastic artist working for the evolution theory. If evolution is true, then why can't we find complete skeletons of missing links, as we do of the giants? Adolf Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, "It would never come into the heads of the broad masses to fabricate colossal untruths, and they would not believe that others could have the impudence to distort the truth so infamously." Lucy is another one, the missing link. I quote, "Scientists have discovered a remarkable complete skeleton of a 3-year-old female from the ape man species represented by Lucy. The remains are 3.3 million years old. Judging by how well it was preserved, the skeleton may have come from a body that was quickly buried by the sediment in a flood," the researcher said. Recently, however, it has been revealed that Lucy, the Australopithecus afarensis, had an anatomy ideally suited for climbing trees and was no different from other apes. The French scientific journal Science et Vie covered the story in 1999 under the headline "Adieu, Lucy." Tel Aviv University anthropologists determined that Lucy's lower jawbone is some kind of a gorilla jawbone. However, Lucy remains in the university libraries and remains a vital part of the big evolutionary exhibitions to promote quote-unquote science. This reference material is taken from In the Beginning, Then What? It's a fiery court case in which both evolution and creation are presented. One critic referred to it as the book of the century. At johanpeters.in, you find 65 plus pamphlets like this on all kinds of subjects. That is from creation to kingdom come. You can choose from 9 books. Other sites sell my books. Here, everything is completely free and there's no cookies and no info requests. So we can pass it on.